I'm going to continue the study in the Church of Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3. We'll begin reading with the seventh verse again. We've completed the seventh, started the eighth, but we'll continue. We'll read the chapter, the church again, 7 through 13. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come unto all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you for those beautiful hymns. I thank and praise you for the family that has come today to hear your precious word. You tell us where two or more are gathered, you're going to bless us in a special way. You're going to give us a special look, and we've come for that special look today. And please, dear Lord, that as we come together and we read your precious word, and as we've been studying and have finished now for this time, Lord, the study on the tabernacle, and we're going to begin back in 1 Corinthians tonight, but that study, Father, in the tabernacle, to look at that and to enjoy that and to see, Father, the position, the place that a lost person is and the believer is, and then on into the holy place where we come for the fellowship and the feeding of the Word. Now, Father, today you could be at the laver and have the cleansing, or today you could come and you could be and enjoy the feeding of the Word, and or today, right here, you could go right into the presence of God the Father. Please, dear Lord, show us your way and will. Just touch our hearts, change our lives, make us more like you. Give me the wisdom I need to preach your word today. It's got to be from you. It cannot be from me. I thank you for it. Now guide and lead us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we look at this Church of Philadelphia, we've enjoyed the look at who our author of this book is, who the author of this, the speaking to this church, and to look and see that he is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, and he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. And it gets to the eighth verse, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Beautiful verses of Scripture. We need to understand that the Lord is, our Savior is the only one that can open our heart. He's the only one that can give us life. You know, we try to get a lot of things out of this life. We try to do a lot of things in this life. But the only one that can truly give us life is our Lord. The only one that can give us salvation to give us life is our Lord. The only one that can give us the opportunity to serve Him and to praise Him and to honor Him is our God. He's the only one that can do that. Without the presence of our God, we cannot love Him. We would never see heaven. Our only hope is to struggle through this life, to find that it's a miserable life and it's just come to an end, and the end is worse than the beginning. Because the end is going to be an eternity separated from the blessings God gave me even as a lost person, because God is blessing the righteous and the unrighteous. But when this life is over, all that is gone, because God's presence is totally and completely left. And so then we have the place called hell, the place called the lake of fire, the place of torment, where every lost person will spend eternity totally and completely separated from God. God's the only one. And here, instead of saying, giving us this, that we may have it, He says to open. So you see, He opens our heart's door when we call upon Him. He opens the opportunity of service when we call upon Him. He gives us life here and now. He opens that door for us. It cannot be opened by any other. And if that door be found shut, it's because He shut it. He has given ample opportunity to serve Him, ample opportunity for salvation, but you've chosen to love the world and not love Him. And so He'll shut that door. He'll shut that door. I've watched folks in my lifetime that have had some very, very special talents. One that comes to mind was one that could play the piano, and I mean play the piano, and it just the fingers would just flow across that piano. But after a few years of service, they were saved. After a few years of service, decided that they wanted to do something else, and so they quit the church, left the church. And it's been many years since that talent has ever even been used. And I am afraid if she would try to use that talent, it's probably gone. The Lord has shut that door because she has had something, a very special blessing that God gave to her, and she's chosen not to use it for His honor and glory. God will shut that door. He opened it and gave it. He'll shut it. We need to use the talents that He gives us. Because as He opens that door and gives us that talent, He also will close that door if we don't use it. And so we need to be very aware. Jesus gives us. He opens these doors of liberties and the privileges that He gives us. And we need to understand He is the one. The wicked, they are very envious of what we have. You wouldn't know it by looking at them. Wouldn't know it by talking to them. But when we walk with the Lord Jesus and they see a peace and a joy that's in us, it seems that we have an understanding of things that they don't have, and they want it. Now they look every place else but the cross of Calvary. But they want what we have. But because they choose not to come by the only way, the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary, God will shut that door. And forever, they'll desire the liberty and the love and the power that we have. We need to see that as we walk each day, that the Lord allows that door for us, whatever door that is, to be open, that we can continue to walk and to serve Him and to praise Him if we're saved. If we're not saved, we need to see that we come as Jesus comes and calls on us and wants to open that heart's door. He will not force His way in. He does not force us to service. He doesn't force us to church. He doesn't force us to do anything. It is a free will of salvation and a free will of service. But if you really want the blessings, give. give of your time, your talents, of your monies to serve Him, to praise Him, and to honor Him. As we look at this church of Philadelphia, we find Him describing to them these very points, how that, remember, I'm the one that opens it. Remember, I'm the one that shuts it. We pretty well think we have control of our lives. We come and go, and we think we have control. We don't. We do not have control of our lives. He does. So if you want His power and His strength, He's the one that has to open the door for you. If you want His salvation, He's the one that has to open the door for you. If you want to serve Him and you want your strength, He's the one that has to open the door for you. And He's the one that has to keep the door open. He's the one. And so we need to praise Him and to honor Him and to serve Him. We find this little church of Philadelphia as we look at this verse of Scripture, this eighth verse. We find it to tell us, for thou hast little strength. I'm the one that opens it, God says. I'm the one that shuts it. You have very little strength. Now, is that because the enemy, and we find in the next verse, behold, I make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and so we know that the enemy was sitting right next to them. So they had a battle that was going on all the time. We know that. But why didn't they have much strength? Why don't we have much faith? We talked last time that God tells us the amount of faith. If we had the equal to a mustard seed, we could move a mountain. Now go ahead and raise your hand. Who has moved a mountain this past week? No mountains moved? I kicked over a molehill. Does that count? I'm afraid that's about the level of our faith. And that's very sad. Well, the strength is a direct link to our faith, because the more faith we have, the stronger we're going to be. There's no question about that. And so here this church says you have little faith, and yet God still told them. He had nothing against them. And if there was one little thing here, maybe there'd just be one slight complaint that God is giving to this Church of Philadelphia. You have little strength. Do we want to be satisfied with little strength when much strength is available to us? Do we want to just settle in and say, this is good enough for me? Or do we want to go the next step and ask Him for that power and ask Him for that strength? Little strength, it says here. But do you know that even with that little strength, God still handed out His grace and His power to this church? And when I say church, I mean the believers in that church. And it's the same thing here. When we talk about the family we have here, it's the people that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ that are saved. That's who is the family. That's who's the church. Now, we could have all the pews filled and the rest of the people that come all be lost. They would not be a part of the church. They are welcome to come. They can come and hear the Word of God. They need salvation, but they wouldn't be a part of this church. Even if they come and joined, it wouldn't matter. They still wouldn't be a part of the church, because the church is when you're born again. That's when you're the church, part of the church. And so I hope that you know Jesus today, and I hope that you've trusted by faith in Him. But we need not to be satisfied as a believer with little faith or little strength. We need to continue to be looking and to continue to be growing and asking the Lord for his power and his strength. And how, Lord, can I have it? With that little strength, the scripture says, thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Has kept my word and not denied my name. To hold the truth, to believe, to have faith. Not denied his name. How do we not deny the name of God? Most of us would not say, as Peter, I never knew him. Most of us wouldn't make that bold of a statement. And yet I'm afraid that we do deny our Lord. We deny him because we have greater desires of the world than we do of him. We love things of this life and this world more than we love him. But this group in Philadelphia didn't do that. They just had a little strength. But they didn't deny the Lord. I'm sure that they did from time to time. The old sinful flesh. All do. But do we come back? Do we call upon him? Do we ask for his mercy? Do we ask for his forgiveness? Do we begin that wonderful walk with him? This group here, this group with all the turmoil and all the tribulation that was going on, stayed true. I've opened the door, the Lord says. I'll keep it open. Unless something happens and I have to shut it. And he never changes. So how could that door become shut? It's by us. He's the one that does the shutting. That can be for salvation. He can call on you and call on you and call on you. And eventually that call ends. But it's also for service and power and strength. We find that amongst this group of believers in the Philadelphia church, we find, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but are not, but do lie. Of the synagogue of Satan, we have the same term, the same statement in the church of Smyrna. Jesus knows the true believers. Jesus knows the heart. You can join every church in this county. You can join every church in this country. And it does not make you a Christian. The term Christian has been so misused and so abused today because anyone that goes to any kind of a church is a Christian. But that's not true. The only person that's a Christian is one that is born again. And Jesus says to the church of Philadelphia that there are those that sit among you that are the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan. Jesus knows the heart. We can say the words, but Jesus knows the heart. And that group of pretenders will be separated from the true church. If you're a pretender, and Jesus would call us away, and the list in the 10th verse there is concerning the hour of temptation, and that's speaking, I believe, of the tribulation period that's coming. The event that's going to take place right prior to the tribulation starting is going to be the rapture of the church. And the rapture of the church is when every believer, alive and dead, will be caught up in the air with the Lord forever to be with the Lord. How would you feel if the church right now would be raptured? Right now, and you were the only one left. The world's going to deny what happened, but you can't. You can't deny that Jesus took them away if, just like that, you're the only one still sitting here. The preacher's gone. The babies are gone. Everybody's gone. Except you. And there you sit. There you sit. And I'm of the belief, and I hope I'm wrong, I'm of the belief that if you heard the gospel clearly prior to the rapture, you will have no opportunity during the tribulation period. So now you can sit there knowing no matter what you do, you're hellbound. No matter how much you cry and plead, it's too late. I hope I'm wrong with that. But why would you want to chance it? Why would you want to risk it? This group was right here in this church. But the Lord knew the heart. He knows those that are fake and phony. He knows the assemblies, the groups that worship God in spirit and in truth. God knows that. He knows our hearts, each one of us, and He knows where we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those assemblies that worship other gods are of the synagogue of Satan. Those that worship the true God falsely, and it seems as though that we have that today. Many, many places and many churches lift up the name of God, but they do not call upon the Lord Jesus for salvation. They don't see that that's a need. Many even deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So you see, you can have the right God, but if you worship falsely, you're still of the synagogue of Satan. And so you go down the road and you look at the churches, and you see the sad shape that they're in. And many cases, it's not that the building is in bad shape. It's not that the pews aren't full. But they are not the synagogue of God. They are the synagogue of Satan. Of Satan. Jesus looked at a group of religious folks and said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." This was church folks. You're of the father, your father, the devil. Jesus assures the true believers here in this scripture and to us that if you do not deny His name, if you stand with Him, if you have trusted in Him by faith, that He will save you and He will keep you. The pretenders, those that are counterfeit church members, will be found out. And according to this verse of Scripture, will bow to His feet and to ours. There'll be a day. There'll be a day that they will come before the true God and those that worship and follow Him. Verse 9, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." To know that I have loved thee. To walk each day, to serve Him, and to know that God is going to take, the Lord's going to take our enemies. And He's going to bring them before us. And He's going to show our enemies that He loves us. He's going to make them bow down to us, the enemy. You think of an enemy, someone with a gun or a bomb, but an enemy is anyone that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, has not come by faith to the Lord. It's a sad, sad day to see so many deny the name of Jesus. You receive a wonderful promise here in the 10th verse, and we'll just get started with this, and then we'll continue next week as we close out the Church of Philadelphia. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I'm going to keep you from that hour, because you have come by faith to me. And if you're alive during that time, I'm going to keep you from that hour. Wonderful promise that the Lord has given us. Now, when we look at here, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. That's kind of a strange term. You have kept my word, but the word of my patience, that's just a little bit different there. The word patience there means endurance and with joy. You have kept my word in season and out of season. You have kept my word, and you've done it with a joyful heart. You've done it with a joyful heart. Has there ever been a time, and all of us have those days and those times, that we didn't want to teach Sunday school? We didn't want to come to Sunday school. We didn't want to come to church. We didn't want to come to Bible study. We had something else, and we just didn't want to do it. Instead of being excited to come and be in the house of the Lord and come and study the Word of God, we find something else to do, some other need, something else that keeps us away. This endurance, this joy that he speaks of here. He is giving these people his promise. And what you'll find downstairs in the Sunday school class, we're working on in the book of Daniel concerning the Church of Israel and what's all taking place. And as you study the Word, you'll find that every time you go a little further into the Word, because we have the head and the shoulders and the stomach or the breast and the legs and the feet and toes, and we've looked at that. We've looked at the stone that's carved out of the wall without hands. We have looked then at the next. Why, then we come to another image, and we have a lion and all the different images there. And we get to the bottom of that, and it has 10 horns instead of 10 toes. But the Word of God is so beautiful and so wonderful, because the more you study it, the further you get into the Word, then he adds something. The Lord adds something. He adds a little horn. He adds a little horn. We're past the 10 horns or the 10 toes. Now, the little horn. Well, that's what happens when we study the Word of God. That's what happens when we come into the house of God. We learn just a little more. Just a little more. And it's something that we need. We need that little more every day to get through the day. We need to search the Word of God, enjoy the Word of God. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, you have come by faith to the Lord Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. It's not that they have kept that, worked so hard, so now because you're faithful, those that aren't faithful, saved, not faithful, they'll go right into it. Doesn't mean that at all. What it does mean, I'm going to show you something because you're faithful. And that's what the Lord does. You come, you open your Bible, you study the Word at home, and here the Lord just continues to show you and grow you and strengthen you, and he takes care of whatever trial or tribulation may come. Whatever it might be, it doesn't matter, because the Lord is with you and he's going to strengthen you and lift you up. But when we don't walk with patience and walk in his word, we find we become very weak and we struggle and we fall. And we get back up again and think, boy, that was a terrible fall. And then you kind of realize that the reason The reason is because you went back to trying to hold on and be strengthened by the world and not by the Word, not by the Word of God. Now, we're going to, we've got several verses of Scripture here concerning this tribulation. If you want to think on something, there are three different thoughts that people think concerning this great tribulation that's coming. Some believers think that it's a post, some think it's mid, and some think it's pre. Post, mid, or pre. Now, we're going to stop right there. You've got to come back next week to figure out what I'm talking about. Always come to hear the Word of God. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come fellowship over your Word. I thank you for your strength and your power. One day can be a difficult day. One day can be a very good day and very easy day. And I believe that's the reason you tell us to serve you and to praise you and to honor you in season and out of season. That means when we feel good, feel like it or not. And Father, this has been a long week. Work was hard. But Father, you come and you bless us. And I'm sure many others, if not all, had that same week, difficult week. Maybe everything that could go wrong did go wrong. But that does not change the love and the desire I have to serve you and to praise you. And see that our day is not changed by that. See that our day is changed by you, dear Lord. Now please, speak to the hearts of those that are lost. If you would call us, that trump would sound right now and the church would leave, will you be sitting here? Will you be all alone? Oh, please, dear Lord, don't let that happen to anyone that has sat underneath the preaching of the Sunday school teachers and the preaching of this preacher of your word, that ever would happen. And yet I'm afraid, dear Lord, that it will. I know it will. People decide they're just going to put it off one more time. Don't quite agree. Oh, Father, it's not agreeing with any of the teachers or the preacher. It's agreeing with your word, because that's the only thing that counts. So please save the lost and grow the saved. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your hymn books and turn to page 67. And stand with me and we'll sing this closing hymn, the hymn of invitation. And please just, while we're singing it, all my tomorrows, all my past, Jesus is Lord of all. Beautiful, beautiful scripture, hymn. And so please stand as we sing.